everybody. Welcome to Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc., another program with L. Ron Ferguson. If you're watching this show anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because below this video is all the links, graphics, and other text supporting documents that go with this video podcast. Hey, and you know, before I get rolling here too much and tell you all about L. Ron, as you know, we record 4 or 5 podcasts at a time, and so I'm still trying to figure out, should I keep the beard? Should I grow it out and be like a guru? Or should I trim it back, keep it the same? Go back to the old hypnotist goatee. I want your input. Right now, I've only got Maureen's input. You know, the wife, trim it all the time. Well, that's okay, but I'm wondering what the world thinks. And see, we're going to have this episode, maybe one more, and then you'll see what happens. Is his beard longer? Is it shorter? Is it gone? Did he decide to go all naturel? No mustache? No beard at all? Naked face? You're going to find out in just an episode or two. Now, let me tell you about L. Ron Ferguson. You hear me talk about him all the time. I'm so proud of him. He is a definite one percenter. He was a hypnotherapist before we got our hands on him. Then he came to a week of power and he saw the light. One percenter. And that's what he is now, a definite one percenter, seeing clients, client after client, week after week, month after month, a real true believer. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal.
What was that weird noise in the
background? Trying to get my timer to work, and it just kept on messing up. I'm sorry about that. That never happens in session, by the way. So now I'm flying blind. I actually have to look at the clock.
All right, I got my timer going.
Whew, turning red already. See, I always get put on the spot.
Well, at least you didn't forget your tie.
You know, that's exactly right. So, gee, Cal, I gotta say, it's good to be here. And every time I sit here, I realize how much I actually do know about hypnosis, because you just seem to be able to drag it right out of me, whether I like it or not. It's kind of like you make me swallow a fish hook and you go, come here! And so thanks for helping me spit it out. For those of you who don't know who Cal is, well, aside from being the guy that taught me everything I know, he's the best hypnosis clinician in the world. The best teacher in the world. Well, maybe not the best teacher in the world, but certainly my favorite teacher, and that's all that really matters. If you want to know how to be a hypno-commando, just hang around Cal a little bit, or just watch him sometimes, and you'll learn how to do it. He gets this one way where he starts to kind of come out of his chair a little bit and move forward. And when you start to internalize that type of approach with your clients, your success rate goes through the roof. So thanks, Cal.
You're very welcome. Hey, before we get started, I want to mention something. While I was away in Singapore, I got the okay from the NGH that I'm going to be teaching a little bit at the NGH certification course, even though I'm not the best teacher in the world, which I would agree with completely, because I get cranky. You know, a really good hypnotherapy teacher, he would be sweet, loving, and considerate through
no
the entire
way.
Class.
But not
me,
as good.
I get cranky. Yes.
Oh.
And people in my classes, they go, gosh, Cal, you're so nice on the videos. How come you're so cranky in class?
No, I prefer to call it hardcore, Cal.
Yeah, that's right.
Hardcore,
well,
baby.
You know, it's my military training. I was training NCO for security police when I was in the Air Force, and I have kind of a, you know, hup to, let's get her done kind of attitude in class, because we run out of time if I don't. Anyway, at the NGH convention this year, I believe I'm going to be doing a class on, I think it's a 2-hour class, never done it before, on learning 7-Path. And people are actually going to learn, I think it's the first 2 recognitions, get a real good taste of what 7-Path can do for you. And then also pre and post convention, I'm going to do a week of power kind of course, which I'm not sure. I think it's going to be 5 days, maybe 6 days long. I have to look at my notes. And so you can go through week of power, maybe abbreviated by a day, a little bit more condensed, at the NGH convention. And where is that? Where is that NGH convention? Merrimack, New Hampshire, Boston? I don't know. Where is it? Outside of Boston. Marlborough. That's what it is. Marlborough, Massachusetts in August. And it is the number one event of the year when it comes to hypnosis. All right. What you got for me, L. Ron?
Questions.
I want you to verify with everybody. that I don't tell you what kind of questions you can ask me ahead of time. I just say, put them together, put some good questions together, and fire them at me. Isn't that right?
That's right. I even rushed in today. I ran up because I forgot my ties on the way here. So I ran up and go, Cal, I got the questions, Cal. And you go, don't tell me what they are. I go, but nope, go home and get your ties. And so we are really flying free and clear here, shooting from the hip. But
fancy free. Wild and fancy free.
Wild and fancy free, Cal.
That's right. No limit.
So
I'm ready to rock and roll.
I can feel the wind in my hair already. Somebody give me a fan. We have a question I pulled off of the Yahoo group. Lydia asked it, actually.
Thank you, Lydia.
That's right. Has to do with the subject of grief. She had a counselor ask her if she worked on grief, and she said, of course I do that all the time. I started wondering about it. When's a good time to work on grief? Isn't grief a healthy emotion that is appropriate and is supposed to be felt? In Five Path, what would be the desired outcome? It's early, and I was just wondering. Let me just preface this with saying that, just talk about this and about working on sadness in general.
Okay. You know, I think I got this from Steve Parkhill, and he said that, and he may have got this from Jerry Kine, and Jerry Kine might have got it from experience or somewhere else, but all human emotions are rather short-lived when fully expressed. And in addition to that, I would add to that there are people who go through a normal process of grieving and then some people who don't. And what's the difference? The difference between those who go through a normal process of grieving and those who don't is their histories before the great loss of a loved one or even thing. People can grieve the loss of a thing. So with hypnotherapy, we are fully capable of helping people. Now, here's the deal. If the person has just lost someone, you know, a parent or a child, and it's, you know, been only a month and it's interfering with their life, excuse me, that's normal. And what we want to do as hypnotherapists in that case, if we're working with them, is to get them to just fully express it, just to let it out. And if they're having trouble within a few months because of the grief, it's because they're not expressing it enough. And then tell them, you know, really work through their inability to feel the grief. But if it's going to be 6 months down the road and there's still this grief, which is really sadness, that is a very large sadness over the loss of someone very important to them, then that really means that there's something going on in their history that's causing them to not be able to move on in a normal way. And so what we would do is we need to uncover what the cause of that is. We need to neutralize it, give them suggestions for change. And of course, Five Pathers would do phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing to make sure we've got someone who's hopeful that the hypnosis is going to work, that they're a somnambulistic client. And then in phase two, we're going to do age regression, and we're going to neutralize the cause. We're going to provide insight because we really look at removing erroneous beliefs and thoughts so that which are generating erroneous emotions. You see, I should talk about this more. There's this principle of resonance. And what that is something in the now is resonating with something in the past. And that causes them to feel too much of something now. So if it's been 6 months since the loss, and they're still very emotional, very sad, very grieving, so much that it's interfering with their daily life, their work, their family, these kinds of things, then they are overreacting. And that energy, where does it come from? It comes from a sadness in the past. And it's resonating into the present and causing them to overreact. Also, a thing that we want to do is, in the age regression, is identify if there's any other emotion. For example, a common emotion that's uncovered in the age regression is fear. They might be calling it grief, but it could be sadness, which is also grief, mixed with fear. And if we can identify what these major emotions are associated with the problem, their inability to cope in life and work and relationships now, then we will probably find that there's at least the one emotion that they talk about and possibly fear. We're going to want to follow both of those emotions back using the affect bridge technique and neutralizing them at the source, and then, of course, with the SSEs, the subsequent sensitizing events, which are really subsequent reinforcing events, and making sure that we make the shift in the ISC, reinforce that change, the neutralizing of the emotion in the SSEs, and then also in the age progression work, which is really not done enough in our profession, but have them go into their probable future experiencing the change, the loss of the grief. That's kind of funny to say, but the removal of the grief, the removal of the fear that's associated with that loss. And then, of course, we're going to do the forgiveness work in phase three of the person who's associated with the cause of the problem as revealed in the age regression. And then, of course, at that point, the client is able to take on some responsibility for what's gone on. It was her misperceptions. It was her erroneous emotions that contributed to the problem. And so we're going to do some self-forgiveness in phase four. Now, in phase five, which is the parts mediation work or parts mediation therapy, five pathers, we do a special kinds of parts work where we work on secondary gain, where we follow a pretty much along the lines of mediation, like a typical mediator who would work with families who need mediation, companies that need mediation, countries that need mediation, and cyclically divide the individual into two parts and do a mediation process to remove secondary gain. And once again, secondary gain is something that's going on in the present that is a motivating, reinforcing, or demanding the behavior, and in this case, excess grief, because there's some benefit to it, even though the cause of the problem has been removed. Anything you'd like to add to that, Elron?
No. It pretty much covers it, Cal.
A little bit more than you expected, wasn't it?
No, just taking notes here. That's fantastic. I mean, of course, I think I'd just like to drive home your point of being able to take this affect bridge and follow it back and remove the erroneously placed emotions. And if there's real sadness back there, as we're going through the SSEs toward the ISC, we want to validate any real sadness so that they can actually feel it, okay, and have that sadness. But it's the erroneous feelings, usually the fear, maybe a little bit of erroneous sadness that is causing the feeling that they're experiencing now to feel like it's out of proportion and is ultimately affecting their ability to be functional.
Excellent. I want to say that was a really good question. And, you know, I really enjoy answering these questions and doing these podcasts because, you know, we pack a lot of stuff into my training programs, be it the 10-day NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course or the Week of Power or on the DVD version of that. But you know what, there's only so much time, and to get into this level of detail just cannot be done in class. And so to have the opportunity to really mull over this stuff in this kind of detail is just very exciting for me. Another place where I'm able to go into this kind of detail is in the Banyan Online Supervision CDs, which we really call our externship program. And it's really for people who are five pathers. Other people have purchase the program. We'll put a link below to the Banyan Online Supervision CDs. But what I did for 40 weeks, I sat down and really went over a number of topics in the kind of depth that I'm just not able to go over in these short podcasts or even in class. So it's just really great to be able to do this. How are we doing on time?
Well, since my timer was making noise and being disruptive, I'm not really totally sure.
Okay, I think we're about 13, 14 minutes into it.
Okay. So here we go. Here's another question. And this question is from a hypnotherapist who was seeing a client for weight loss Did age regression with them, but the session went well, and she reported feeling relief at neutralizing the feeling she had. But the client questioned whether or not the situation was the reason for her weight gain. I was wondering, since she's very analytical, that if I should have said something like, bring up the feeling that has everything to do with you being overweight or how you feel when you overeat, rather than for the reason you're in here today. Should I be more specific? Basically, as I see it, this hypnotherapist is wondering, you know, so here a client comes in, she's doubtful that the work was actually, oh, well, that's not why I overeat. You know, she was questioning the value of the age regression and didn't, you know, she's being over-analytical and, you know, saying, oh, well, that emotion's not why I eat. I don't think so at the conscious level. What are your thoughts on this, Cal?
Well, I question whether or not she did it correct also. Because I wasn't there, and I don't know what she did. Let me talk a little bit about doing age regression for weight loss. And I have a whole CD that's only available to 5-pathers on this. So 5-pathers, if you haven't got it, get our CD set on using 5-path for weight loss. It's on the BanyanHypnosisMall.com and hypnosis.org, I think, or you can just call our office. But when we do age regression, there's some common mistakes. People will sometimes do, I want you to focus on that feeling you get when you eat, and that's a terrible mistake. The feeling they get when they eat might be a feeling of relief or a feeling of enjoyment, and so that could be incorrect. They could say, focus on the feeling that causes you to eat, and that would be a much better way to go. What I will typically do is, I'm going to tell you kind of an insider tip, trick, and technique here, is when I'm working on something like a too much behavior, I will do a date-time regression to a time when they were recently out of control to the behavior. And I will say, okay, let's say they're eating too much, or let's say that they're binging on chocolate. And I will say, I'm a moment to count from 5 back to 1. When I get to 1, you're going to be at a recent time when you were just had to have that chocolate, totally out of control of the chocolate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. And we find out what's going on. And then I will say, a moment to count from 5 back to 1, and we're going to go to just before you decide to eat that chocolate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. And at that point, I'm going to do the fantastic 5. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is it familiar or new? Because this is a big difference between true age regression and like timeline therapy. My client, by the time I get to doing age regression, needs to be a somnambulistic client. That means that they can hallucinate. It means revivify, to relive the event. Now, when they go into that event, they are reliving what's happening, what they're thinking, and what they're feeling. I'm not asking the grown-up aspect of my client, you know, what did you think then? What did you feel? Because then they're trying to remember. But when I have them back in that recent event, and they're reliving what they're thinking, okay, then what they're feeling, then what I can do is I can focus on the emotion that has everything to do with why they are going to eat that chocolate or smoke that cigarette or drink that drink or whatever it is that they're doing too much of. And I can say, good, focus on that feeling. Now, what is it? It might be fear, it might be sadness, it might be guilt, whatever it is, and say, now follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way, if indeed they have reported it as being familiar. And obviously, if I've just regressed to a time last week and they've had the weight problem for 10 years, then we are going to go back to an earlier time. So that's part of it. I mean, you have to do a good age regression. One is the simple way of just putting the person in somnambulism, saying there's a feeling inside that has everything to do with why you have this weight problem. And the other is, here's the insider tip, trick, and technique, do a date time regression to a recent time when they were experiencing the drive to do the too much behavior, and then regress off the emotion that is pushing them to do it. Now, the other thing is that, in addition to, I remember what it was, Segway. I experienced exactly what this client, what this hypnotherapist has talked about. And it might not just be weight loss, it could be anything. And they'll say, well, I'm not sure if what we did had anything to do with my problem. A perfect example of this would be someone come in for nail biting, and then you go back to some time as a child when they were molested. And in that case, I've had a hypnotherapist, before I figured this out, what I'm about to talk about, say, how dare you take me back to that time when I was molested, when I came in here for nail biting. So I had to think, gosh, you know, that we regressed on the emotion that's driving them to bite their nails as the distractor, the too much behavior. It was obvious to me. It wasn't obvious to my client. And what I thought is, okay, now I've got to explain it to my client. Here they are in a not highly suggestible state. In fact, they're kind of in a defensive state. They may even be angry. And I want you to remember, anger is a wall. Once they're angry, they don't really want to hear your side of the story. And so I came up with this concept of the Segway. This is not a little two-wheeled vehicle that you take to your office, that you stand on and, you know, go along. This is a process in which you tie the insight gained to the direct suggestion regarding the issue that they came in for. So you do exactly as I mentioned in the age regression, and then here's the important part, and that is, after you've done that insight work, age regression, forgiveness therapy, parts therapy, whatever you're doing, you want to do the segue. The segue is you identify the insight that they've just had. And you say, and remember, this is while they're in somnambulism. This is in their most receptive state. You'll say to them, now that you know whatever the insights gained were, insight, you know that you've been eating out of a way to distract yourself from these emotions. Then the good news is, today we've neutralized those emotions. And so now you're going to have more control over this than ever before. That's right. And so you're going to be able to accept these suggestions more powerfully, more permanently than ever before. And then suggestion for whatever it is, eating properly, releasing the drug, the alcohol, the cigarettes, whatever it is, and move into direct suggestion, which might be a script or a short version of a script, or just some well-crafted one-line suggestions. So once again, the segue. And what do? You repeat to the client who's in hypnosis the insights that were uncovered and accepted in the age regression or other insight process. Tell them, now that they have had these insights, we've neutralized the cause of the problem, and now they're going to be able to be free from the problem and accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before. And if you do that properly, you're never going to have that problem again. How's that?
Awesome.
All right. I have us out of time. You want to wrap it up?
I will wrap it up.
All right.
Thanks for those answers, Cal.
You're welcome.
That was more thorough than I thought possible. Thank you for that.
Well, I'm so wound up. I was gone for all those weeks, and I'm brimming with this information. It's like I'm a cup overflowing.
You missed it, didn't you, Cal?
I certainly did. There's no place like home. Exactly. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
We're back home. Did you click your heels together when you said that, Cal?
Well, yeah.
All right. If you want to learn more about how to do this process and become awesome like we are, and that rhymes with possum, then go to hypnosiscenter.com, look at our training schedule, check out hypnosis.org. There is products there that will really make you a one percenter, because that's what it's about being the best of the best, changing people's lives, approaching 100% success, succeeding where everything else has failed. Thanks for sitting with these questions. I hope you got a lot out of it. I certainly did. This is L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
All right. Be a one percenter. Be hardcore. Do it.
Yeah.
Go to our websites, and I want to see you in class. Be there. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's
Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.